You know, whenever you feel yourself getting discouraged about things in life, and just go to the end of the book. It ends well, right? It ends well. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming, amen, to rule and to reign. It's on the journey, brother. Yeah. So, anyways, glad to see you all today. And I'm hoping that the feeling is mutual. But anyways, we get to do this. We get to serve. We get to be a part of what the Lord is doing. And it's not because of our personal goodness, or it's because God's plan. God has a plan for your life and my life. And it's about finding that plan, that purpose. And, you know, we live a dysfunctional life when we don't understand who we are and what our purpose is in life. And God wants to bring us into his normal, because there's a lot of confusion as to what's normal today. And if you want to know what normal looks like, look at Jesus. Amen. He's the perfect one. And he wants us to be conformed into his glorious image. And it's the Lord who's doing a work in our hearts and a preparation, really, as we are a bride that's in preparation for, amen, that wedding day, when we shall be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. Amen. The Lord is coming for a bride. Amen. Not a harlot. And so our hope and our faith is in the grace of God. Amen. But you know, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what the grace of God teaches us. Amen. God is coming for a holy bride, a holy people. Amen. And you and I, apart from Christ, cannot be holy. As we know, holiness is of the Lord. And he makes us holy. We can do good things, but not be good. You know, but God makes us good so that we can have good fruit. And so a tree is known by its fruit. So we need to be the planting of the Lord. That means you must first be born again and brought into right relationship with God. Amen. Before you can even begin to live a life that honors, that pleases God. And so there are people who think, I just need to act a little harder like Jesus, you know. I need to try to be a Christian a little harder, to be a better Christian. And the fact of the matter is, none of us are able to be a good Christian, independent of Christ. Amen. Because Christianity is Christ, and he is the one, he's the source of all life and all ability that we would have in any way to bear fruit that pleases the Father. So God is trying to wean us off of ourselves, off dependence on ourselves, as being the agent of salvation, and understand that all life comes from him, including the very gifts that we have been given, amen, in this world. We didn't give ourselves those gifts. God gave them to you. And with a gift comes a responsibility, a stewardship, amen. We are to be good stewards over God's investment in us. And so we get to serve the Lord. There is joy in serving him. I will tell you, I had no plans on ever being a preacher. I wanted to be a rock and roller in the world. But God had radically got a hold of me. And some of you know the story and how God can transform a heart, you see. We can change external things. We can make adjustments in the way we present ourselves to people. Amen. But one thing we can't do is change our own hearts. And so God transforms us from the inside out. But you have to be willing to trust him in that process and give him your life. God can keep and God can bless that which he possesses. And God gave us a free will so we can choose what to do with our lives. We are responsible for our lives. Amen. God actually gave us charge. It's like Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus said, take the wheel with me. Let's do life together. Amen. It's not like the Lord's going to just do everything. He's saying, partner with me. Let's yoke up together and let's do life together. I will grant you the grace you need if you lean on me. Trust me. Everything you have need of, I have. So we can do all things, like Paul said, through Christ who strengthens us. Revelation 21, verse 7 says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, also witchcraft, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to grant me grace, grant me utterance to speak today. Holy Spirit, speak through me, reach through me today. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. That word cowardly means fearful, but it also has an implication of referring to being faithless, to those who are faithless and unbelieving. These basically are the unregenerate. It's not speaking about God's children who occasionally struggle with doubt and fear. All of us at times struggle with doubt and fear. But he's talking about a state of being in fear and being fearful and being cowardly, basically. In 2 Timothy 1:7, we all know this so well, that's not the kind of spirit God has given us, is it? For God has not given us as his people a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So those who belong to Christ have been given what? A spirit of power and of love and of self-control, right? Or a sound mind, right? Now, the cowardly are those who through fear of man make no profession of Christ, those who will deny the Lord. And these are the ones who will bow their knee to the spirit of this age. And what is the spirit of this age? The spirit of Antichrist. And those who fear Satan will serve him and his agenda. How many know that you will serve what you fear? You will bow to what you fear. If you fear God, you will bow only to him. Mm-hmm. If you fear man, you will bow to man and to his agenda. And Satan is going to use people to try to control other people. Amen? To manipulate. So the unregenerate, the ones who aren't born again, are already slaves to Satan. When we were apart from the covenant, when we were not in Christ, we were already born naturally hostile to God. Amen. We were enemies in our minds to God. Amen. So Christ came to redeem us and to reconcile us, bring us back into right relationship with the Lord. And only through Christ can one be made right with God, because it's only through the blood of the new covenant that we can be cleansed, amen, and sanctified or set apart for him. You and I, apart from Christ, are incapable of coming into the very throne of God. Amen. Last week, I talked a little bit about, or at least on Wednesday, about the high priest being the only one once a year. Amen. And only after he had gone through the ceremonial washings and he was cleansed, amen, ceremonially and never without blood, could he once a year go behind on the, right, the Day of Atonement, behind that thick veil, which is about 6 inches thick. That was between the holy place and the most holy place where the very Shekinah glory of God dwelt on the earth. And if he was not ceremonially clean, when he went behind that curtain, he would actually be struck dead by the very glory of the presence of God, because sin could not dwell in the presence of holy God. The same thing is true today. You and I are incapable of coming into God's throne room apart from the blood of Christ. Amen. We would be struck dead by the sheer holiness of God. And I don't know if this is true or not, because, you know, people have stories and they have testimonies of things that they said that God showed them. But I remember hearing a testimony, I often pondered this, of somebody said that it's not like God is casting people into the lake of fire. It says that the sheer holiness of God causes people to flee from the presence of God. In other words, they cannot stand in the presence of God. And so we do know this, that no one is capable, amen, of coming to God on their own terms in their own righteousness. We can't come before God with your list of do-goods, right, and say, Lord, look at all the good things I've done, because the problem remains, and that is sin. Sin always separates us from God. Amen. So we must be forgiven through the blood of Christ. Amen. There is mercy if we will repent and turn to the only one that can save us. Amen. Jesus. Then we can have our sins blotted out. Hallelujah. That means that God will no longer hold that sin against you. Once he forgives us of those sins, it's done. Hallelujah. It's forgiven. It's settled. Hallelujah. And so the Lord wants you to walk in confidence in what he has already accomplished for you. Otherwise, we will feel self-condemned because we evaluate ourselves by our own performance. And by the works of the law or even my flesh, I will not be justified. I cannot be justified. The only way that we're justified is through the blood, amen, the sacrifice of Jesus. And we can be confident when we come before the Lord because we have faith in what Christ has already accomplished for us on our behalf. He went before us as our forerunner into the most holy place. Hallelujah. So now we can confidently come before the Father's throne. We have a privilege. We have a privilege, don't we? Cowardice is a result of unbelief. The unbelieving. You know, there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. We have doubts at times. But unbelief is choosing not to believe. Choosing not to obey is unbelief. We're going to struggle with doubt at times. But the Lord has grace for that. And the Lord has the grace that we need that will help lift us up out of that realm of our soul to where we're doubtful and fearful and insecure. Are you hearing me, somebody? God wants us to rise above ourselves in Him. God will lift us up into heavenly realms. Amen. And we have that access because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. I believe, guys, that just like the Bible says that when Christ rose, amen, that those in Christ also have positionally risen with Him. And we're already seated together with Him in the spirit realm. So we have access. That's why sometimes we can just whisper Jesus. Amen. Because the Lord is with us. He's in us and He's with us. Hallelujah. So we don't have to make it difficult. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, you must come as a child to the Father. Amen. You must come as a little child, believing simply what God promised you. And that's how you receive from God. For without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. For those who come to Him must believe what He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Amen. Now, King Saul, he compromised the known will of God because he feared the people more than God. And that's the same thing today, is if we fear people, we will compromise what is right. And if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, we will fear people. There are a lot of people who pretend that they're not in fear, but they are. And a lot of that is a facade. You see the bumper stickers, no fear. Well, you can say that if you have the God of peace in you, amen. Because the God of love that we serve, amen, will lift us up above that realm of insecurity. We have to live above ourselves. In other words, Paul said, I put no confidence in my flesh, in my ability, amen, to keep myself. And there's a realm that we, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in. And that's the realm of our soul, where there is this doubt and this fear and this insecurity and worries about tomorrow. You know, and worrying about things that we have no control over so often. Even worrying about the what ifs, what could happen. I know there's a lot of people online on YouTube that are just all these talking about, well, they're going to drop the bomb, or this is going to fall apart and this is going to happen. And, you know, how many remember Y2K? You've been around long enough to remember Y2K? You know, everybody was going crazy, right? Well, on midnight, everything is going to shut down. And boy, I tell you what, the tech giants were having a heyday in that time, weren't they? And the people that were selling all the, you know, the supplies, what do you call it, the survival supplies. And I have to make a confession today. I bought some survival stuff. Because, man, if they're right and I didn't do anything, well, hello. So, but I'm trying to learn how to listen to God and to say, Lord, what do you say? There's so many voices today, isn't there? I mean, it can just get you so confused. So you really need to get into that quiet place with God and let Him bring you into His peace, His perfect peace, where you can kind of sit back and listen and rest in Him and then get a proper perspective on life. Because our lives can very quickly become very busy and spin out of control. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard in this day and age to actually be still. I have trouble with it sometimes, just being actually still, where my mind's not flooded with things. But God wants me to get into that place with him where I am at rest. I am at peace. I have found that God will speak to me if I'll sit down and listen. If I'll be still long enough and wait on him to speak, he'll speak to me. Come on. You know, we can get frustrated about losing something. You ever lose your glasses or something? They're right on your head, of course. But you ever do something, you know, that you just, you don't know where they're at, and you're frustrated because you're searching everywhere. And then finally you say, hey, you know what? I ought to talk to the Lord about this. Right? A little late, but yeah, Lord, please help me. And I found that when I settle down, I say, okay, Lord, I quit fretting now. Then all of a sudden, have you looked here? There it is. You know, God wants to speak to us. But Samuel came to King Saul, who had compromised the will of God because he feared people. And said in 1 Samuel 15:22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. What was going on? Well, King Saul fell into that category of unbelief. It wasn't that he had some doubts, it's that he actually willfully rejected the word of the Lord because he feared people more than he did God. He was more concerned about what people thought than what God thought. In verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. And he admits it, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. And your words, because what? I feared the people. Yeah. And obeyed their voice. Guys, if we're going to live for the Lord, we have to be very careful who we listen to. Amen. That we're listening to the right voice. And that we're not going to bow down to the peer pressure and the political correctness and things that we're being pressured to conform to. How many know that the spirit of the age, the spirit of Antichrist, is very prevalent and at work in many people right now because he's setting things in order, amen, for him to come to power as a world dictator, a world leader. So that's what we're seeing. And we're seeing already many people have already bought into the lie. Why? Because there's no life in them. There's no light in them. They don't have Christ. And only those who are in Christ can have the light to understand what's actually happening and actually to prepare themselves for what's coming as well. Remember Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost? He became another man, didn't he? Because he was the one that thought that within his own soul, within his own strength, that he was going to be able to, you know, live for Jesus. I'm going to be one of your greatest apostles, you know. And I don't know about you, but I've been there, done that. You know, I want to be the best Christian I can be, but I discovered that I can't be a good Christian in my own strength. And so God has to bring us to a place where, like Peter, we continue to fail over and over again until we learn that the only place I'm going to find, amen, help, real help that will help me, that will give me the ability to overcome myself and the fears and the pressures, amen, that come from without and from within, is in the Lord. And by the strength of the Lord, we alone can overcome. So when we say we accept Jesus, what does that mean? Well, I received Jesus. It means you received everything he is and everything he was requiring of us. It means when you receive Jesus, you're receiving him as Lord. Amen. Not just Savior, but as Lord of your life. How many know that the Lord went to that cross and paid a horrible price for us? Amen. The highest cost. Amen. So that we could be reconciled to him. Amen. So that we would be his own special people. That we could honor him by the way we live our lives as representatives of him in this world. Israel was a nation that was separated, amen, unto God. And not because they were any better than any other people, but because God chose a very tiny sliver of land in the middle of nowhere, amen, to call a people that would represent him to the nations that surrounded them. Amen. So when people looked at Israel, they were supposed to see a type or an example of what God is like. And as you know, over and over again, Israel failed, didn't they? And even the priesthood became corrupted and failed. Amen. Israel was called to be a kingdom of priests. In other words, everyone, men, women, boys, and girls, were all to be priests unto the Lord. Amen. But after they continued to fail, God then separated a certain group out. Amen. The Levites and the Aaronic priesthood. Amen. That they were going to be the ones that would then represent the Lord. Amen. And because human beings do not have the capability within themselves to live holy, again, that priesthood also failed. Now, we understand that they had to understand, too, that in themselves, they did not have the requirements to live holy. They didn't have what it took to live holy. And so the law was given, amen, first of all, to keep some restraints on us until the time of the fulfillment when Christ would come and redeem us, amen. And so the law was a schoolmaster. It was one that would point us to the fact that we have all sinned, right, and fallen short. So apart from Christ, none of us have been able to live the life that God would accept, and that is a perfect life. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, amen, lived that perfect life on our behalf and became our sacrifice. He became the Lamb of God, and God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Praise God, amen. Jesus paid it all. So all to him we owe. Because you and I were not capable of saving ourselves. And there are people who think that within themselves they are righteous. Those people will also perish. Why? Because they have sin in their life. And with sin, no one can stand before God. So the only solution to sin is the blood of Christ. In other words, it doesn't matter what echelon of society you come from, you know, whether you're up and outer or down and outer. Without Christ, you're all outers. Amen. So God wants to bring us all through the same method, and that's through the cross, through the blood, amen, into right fellowship with him, to where we become one holy nation, amen, a new people, hallelujah. Not a patch up of the old thing, but a new creation, a new order, if you will, amen, in the Holy Spirit. You know, it's easy to say we accept Christ when there's no threat of opposition or persecution. You know, there's going to be pressure to conform, pressure to bow. And when we say we accept Jesus, it means I accept all that he is and all that he's done. Amen. And for many around the world, to accept Christ is a death sentence. They understand that to say I have decided to follow Jesus could mean their life. But they've counted the cost, and they've understood that what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And what can you give in exchange for your soul? You understand, none of us are able to save ourselves. You must surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Recently, we had a brother that came to that place, like all of us must, amen, and have, some have, to where he realized that he had to give God the whole offering. He had to completely give it up. He had to give his life away. But Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. And so he said he struggled in his Christianity up and down like a roller coaster. Amen. He'd do good for a little while and then he'd fall away. Good for a little while, fall away. He was on that gerbil wheel. It wasn't going anywhere, you know. And finally, he came to the place where he said, okay, God, I quit. I give up. I surrender. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my body. I give you my everything. Amen. And God takes us by his mercy into a place where we realize that in us, there's no good thing. When we start to get legalistic and start to pride ourselves in how well we're living our lives, God will turn the heat up, amen, and give us another dose of ourselves that we don't like. So that we will lean on the grace and the mercy of God, amen, and stay close to the Lord where there is sufficient provision for us to live holy, to control ourselves. It is the grace of God at work, amen. Many in America, again, We find it frightening to confess Christ to our friends or neighbors or coworkers or people on the street. In most cases, the most it could cost us is rejection from their company. When I got to go on a trip, I'm not going to get too far off on this, but to India, and I saw that some of those that were going up into the central areas of India were at threat of their life. There was these young men, millennials, you know, there was about 8 of them, pastors, that were committing themselves to go into, you know, this area in India, where they knew that previous to that, the churches were burned. You know, the pastors were burned. They were tortured by the locals and even the Hindus. But they had such conviction in their hearts, and they had such a burden because it was the love of God in them that gave them a supernatural ability even to live above themselves and their own needs and their own wants and their own desires, that they might please the one who enlisted them as soldiers to go into these places and to preach. And the host that I was there, his name is John Arul. John would go up there right after all this had happened and they'd done all that pillaging up in there. And he held a great crusade and thousands of people came to Christ. Praise God for men and women like that. Amen. That are willing, hallelujah, to count the cost. Now, you don't understand, it is by the grace of God that we can do what we do. But we need to know that the grace of God is sufficient for us. And whatever God tells you to do, do it. Why? Because his grace will back up what he tells you to do. Sometimes, and most of the time, it's way beyond our pay grade or something we even wanted to do in life. But God is saying, I want you to do this, because God uses the unlikelies, you know. The least likelies even. And he does extraordinary things through ordinary people. Because it's not of us, but it's by the grace of God we are who we are. Amen? It's by the grace of God we are who we are. And if God tells you to do something, he's going to back it up. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now, I don't like discipline, but there's times when God has to discipline me. And there's times when the Lord has to reveal to me where I'm standing, where I'm at in my spiritual walk, where my strength is. Come on, somebody. And so you're going to face a situation that's going to test you. The heat's going to be turned up in the furnace. Amen. So that we will realize how weak we are apart from him. So that we will come to him and receive what we need to be strong. You know, Paul said in Ephesians 6 to be but strong in the Lord. He didn't say strong in your willpower. Some people, you know, they live the Christian life by willpower. But willpower will fail you. Amen. He says, be strong in the Lord. And so Peter had to be brought to a place where he realized in himself, he couldn't do it. God had to break him and bring him into a place where he was user friendly. Just like he's working in our hearts and our lives to do the same. So like James said, count it all joy, brethren. When you go through these trials, these tests, these difficulties in life, knowing that God is producing in you perseverance. Amen. He wants a steady people. He wants a strong people. Amen. To represent him. And the strength that we're talking about is not the strength I give myself, but the strength that comes from God only. And so before I will come to God for strength, I'm going to have to realize that I'm weak in myself. So instead of getting discouraged about your failures, realize that, hey, I'm not where I need to be. And draw near to God. The fearful are those who lack the power of God in their lives. Lack the power of God. And so again, the Lord has to reveal to us where we're at. So we will come to him for the strength we need. Now, a soldier has confidence in his armor, right? And his weaponry. And his training. So we are being trained in righteousness, amen, through the Word and by the Spirit, who enables us, who empowers us, and who clothes us. But you have to have your confidence in the right place again. Because sometimes we begin in confidence in God, and then later on we just say, well, I got it from here, God. I'm good. No, I've had enough. I got my hour in on Sunday morning. Like years ago, a little dab will do you. No, it won't. We're in a great battle right now. And it's getting dark out there. Amen? But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if we will try, and if we will lean on and trust in his ability, his power, his grace, which is sufficient, then we will have everything we have need of, because he's already given it to us in Christ. We already have everything we have need of in him. Hallelujah. You see, God doesn't just give us pieces of himself. He gives us the Lord. Amen. The Lord comes to dwell. His Spirit comes to dwell within us. So in Ephesians 6:10, here it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, dunamis, of his might. Same word, Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, shall be witnesses, right, unto me. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the same Peter, shifting to Peter in Acts 2:14, who once denied the Lord before man. Now, by the grace, by the power of God, he's able to boldly and publicly confess him. Do you understand that when I was a kid, God would, my teacher would, but God is probably a part of it, I'm sure, would call me to the board. Now, some kids were just naturally, oh, no problem, I'll go up there. Well, Keith had a problem with paying attention, you know. So I was a dreamer. I was like, oh, yeah, what's happening after school today? And oh, what do you think, Mr. Arnsmeyer? Why don't you come up and share with the students? So my heart would just sink, you know. But I can remember just being terrified of having to get up in front of the class. Isn't it interesting how God will take somebody that, you know, like that and say, you know what, you're perfect for the job. I'm going to make you a public speaker now. So in my weakness, his strength comes through. And it also causes me to draw near, amen, and to receive of the grace of God, so that I pray by the mercy of God that you're getting the grace of God, amen, through simply a weak vessel that God chooses to use. Because if the truth be known, we're all weak apart from Christ. Why? Because we're broken. Naturally, we're broken. Amen? That's why the world's so dysfunctional, because it's made up of broken people. Amen. And in order to be functional again and brought back into right standing, amen, we have to be reconciled to our Creator through Jesus Christ. And then God can do extraordinary things through ordinary people. But Peter stood up in verse 14 with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, what? Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. What was he doing? He was speaking out for Jesus. Jesus wants every one of us baptized with the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot be bold and effective witnesses for Jesus without his power. Guys, you're always hearing me talk about this. And I pray that if you don't understand the value of prayer, that God will allow you to realize that. Oh, come on. So, Lord, yes, I need to pray. Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your grace. Hallelujah. That's a good place to be. Because in my weakness, Paul said that his strength is made perfect. When I know that I'm not able, then I know that he can be my strength. I'll rely upon the grace of God to be who I am. Amen. So God wants you and I to be bold, and he wants us to be effective witnesses for him. But in ourselves, we have some certain abilities that we were born with. Amen. Some people have, we all have somewhat a certain charisma about us, right? Everybody has weaks and strengths and weaknesses. So that's who we are naturally. You know, these are the gifts of the Father. God designed you a certain way. You were born with certain abilities. Amen. And so God wants us to submit ourselves and those abilities to him. Amen. And of course, it's the Lord, amen, who gives the fivefold ministries, amen, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then the Holy Spirit gives the gifts, the demonstration gifts, amen, as he wills in any given situation where they're needed. Amen. So how is it that if we are naturally a certain way, we're still, even in our natural condition, we're weak, we're broken, and we're separated from God, and we're not going to be as effective as we will be if we submit that broken vessel to God and let God do a work in us. Amen. So God wants to take who you are naturally and supersize it. God wants to breathe into you his life. Amen. And raise you up and make you a vessel of honor for him. So God wants to work through us, but he needs a people who are not fearful. He needs a people that will be bold for him. Amen. And that boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of God that we have a supernatural confidence. When a soldier puts on his armor, amen, again, he feels confident because he's got that flak jacket on or whatever. Amen. But if you take that off, now you feel vulnerable. Amen. So when we are clothed in the Lord, we have a supernatural confidence in our armor and in our weaponry. Because we're energized, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he gives us a supernatural confidence. When you are clothed in the Lord, amen, you are not walking in shame. You're not living in guilt and in shame and in condemnation when you're clothed in the Lord. Because the Lord gives us a supernatural ability to rise above our own insecurities. It's not of me, it's of him. So that we can be an expression of his heart in the world and people will see the reality of Christ through just ordinary people. Because we don't want to give people ourselves. You can't be a Christian for yourself. Amen? Some people go into the ministry because they want a title. You know? Man, that's insane. Amen? Because I don't know how it is. It used to be years ago, it might have been something. But nowadays, it's almost like you don't want to have that title. But you know what? We should never be ashamed of our Lord, of his testimony. Because we remember what he did for us. And how he deserves everything. We owe him a debt of love. To give our bodies back to him. And present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And the only way to live the life that God's called us to live is going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so people who do not pray do not have power, and therefore they do not have boldness, amen, to stand up for Christ. And you'll find very quickly how strong you are when you're under the pressure, amen, of peers. You're under the pressure of the fear of man as the enemy works you through people to come against you. But if you are building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, amen, you will have a supernatural confidence and you will be fearless in the face of opposition. How is it that brothers and sisters, even the early disciples, amen, could subject themselves to being persecuted and even go away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for the name of Jesus? It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't because they were extraordinary people. They were just ordinary fishermen and regular people, amen, from society that God chose. But he put his power in them and they become another person. Just like Peter. Amen. When he received the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, he became bold. He was able to then articulate and speak out for the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'll give you another example. We've got about 2.5 minutes to go. So, parade soldier versus combat soldier. I've used this before, but I think it's good because, you know, God's not looking for parade soldiers. Right? A parade soldier can look good, but when it comes down to actual combat, they may be ineffective. So what God is doing is he's taking sometimes a parade soldier and he's putting him into skirmishes. They're getting some training, on-the-job training. Amen. So God will reveal to that person that they need to really rely upon what they've been told, what they've been taught, upon their training. They need to understand that they have, amen, the proper weaponry and how to use the sword of the Spirit. Amen. And how that God is the one that's going to protect them in the battle. Amen. That greater is he that's in them than he that's in the world. So God needs people that are going to be out, amen, on the front lines for him. We all have our place, but how many know that when we leave this building, we're entering into the mission field? Amen. And that means in your homes, in your schools, wherever you find yourself, we are to be salt and we are to be light. And we cannot be salt and light if we're not abiding in him who is light. Amen. If we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, we're going to be ineffective. We're going to be weak. We're going to be guilt ridden. We're going to be shameful. Amen. We're going to be easily manipulated by the fear of man. But if you are strong in the Lord, amen, then you will not shrink back. I'm trying to encourage every one of us to really consider what's at stake right now. Souls are in the balance. People die and go to hell without Jesus. God's looking for those who will be loyal to him, who will step out for him, that will commit themselves to him and to his work. Those who will receive the power of his Holy Spirit that will enable them to be bold and effective witnesses for him, amen, in society, so that we will be effective influencers in society. The problem with America, it did not happen overnight, amen. It's because the church has been asleep. And God wants his people awake. And when you are awake and when you are healthy, you're going to be hungry. You're going to want more. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, you'll want more. It's not a little dab will do you. You're not satisfied with a little dab. You know, how many know that there comes a time when you get to get from the kiddie pool into the deep end? Amen. Some people are sampling Christianity, splashing around a little bit, just a little there and a little there. Amen. God says, you got to give me the whole thing. You got to go into the deep end. Hallelujah. And now it's the Spirit that's leading. The Spirit that's moving me, that's motivating my heart. I know what it's like when I was starting out and trying to find my way in life. And I was up and down like a roller coaster. I got invited to a Bible study, go to a Bible study and, you know, and I do all right there. And but I was just not stable. I just kept flip flopping and, you know, and I didn't seem to have the ability to just stay steady in that walk. And so my friends would come around and they want me to party with them or whatever. I just easily fell into that. Amen. I'm just talking about me. You know, that's how it was for me. And so I had to realize that it's not ever going to work for me. Until I come to the place where I'm done with me. I'm really done with me. I'm done with my life. I'm done with the way it was. Amen. And I'm really willing to give it all to Jesus. And God sees your heart. And when you come to the place where you're willing to give up the fight and to surrender fully to him, then the Lord will fill you with his Holy Spirit. Amen. And he will empower you and your motivations will change. Your desires will change. You will find a supernatural ability, amen, that comes from him to live the life that you're called to live. Because only in him can you live that life. We're not acting like Christians. Actors are hypocrites, amen. We become like Christ. Again, I say this, but God can do something with something he possesses. Now, all souls are mine, but God gives you the choice who you will serve. He lays it before you and says, will you give me? Will you give me your life? You want to do your own thing, that's your choice. But what I have for you is superior to what you think you want for you. And I had to come to that place where now it's like, are you kidding me? You know, these guys say, hey, man, you're missing out. No, I'm not. I feel sorry for you guys, man. You're living way below what God has for you. So this whole thing, the Christian life, is impossible in myself. It's only by the grace of God that I'm saved. It's by the ability that God supplies that I can overcome the world. It's by the ability that God supplies by His Spirit, amen, that I can minister to others. Because what I give you is going to be ineffective. But what the Holy Spirit teaches, amen, will be effective. It'll be life-changing, life-transforming. So Psalms 31, verse 24 says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. I'm going to finish with this. Courage is not the absence of fear. We're going to struggle with fear at times. We're going to struggle with doubt at times. But there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Unbelief is a willful rejection of what you know to be the will of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? So God is telling His people, I want you to take courage. I want you to put your confidence in Me. I want you to believe in My promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be there, and My grace is more than enough for you. Commit yourself to Me, and we're going to do life together. Hallelujah. And your life will be a blessing in this world. But our part is to take courage. Amen. We've had to do that. Sometimes you just find yourself in places, man, I got to do this, but I'm not always wanting to. But if it's the will of God, I say, Lord, make Your will my desire. Change my heart so that I want to do what You want me to do, regardless of what it is. Be of good courage. You want a strong heart? Take courage. Obey the voice of God. And God will strengthen you. If you are being faithful in what He has given you today, whatever it is in your hand, Moses, it's just a rod, it's just a stick. Do something with what I've already given you. Moses needed to understand that he already had everything right there already. What he needed to is activate his faith by obeying the voice of God, and God would manifest the miracle. Do you trust Him enough to do whatever He says? Be of good courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the mastery of fear. It's you and I overcoming our insecurities, overcoming our inabilities, overcoming our fear by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, courage is something that I must take. I must take the courage that God has already given me to align myself with the will of God. And when I step out for Christ, every time I step out for God, even when it's not comfortable, even when it's scary, and I step out for Christ, the Lord comes through. Amen. He proves Himself to be faithful to His word. God will always approve, amen, His word. He'll back up His word. God will always do what He said He would do if we will believe Him and step out in agreement with Him. All right. So, Lord, I know that prayer is important. I'm just not feeling like it today. See? Now, your soul is not going to want to pray. Your soul man. Come on, somebody. Unless maybe your soul man is in a desperate situation. Now all of a sudden I want to pray. But what the Lord is looking for is loyalty. He's looking for those who will praise Him when it's good. Amen. Not just when it's bad. Those who will pray to Him when it's good and pray, amen, when it's bad. Because we need Him. It's not the other way around, guys. I've heard some preachers say that, but no, God doesn't really need us. He wants us because He loves us. Amen. But we need Him. And if you don't realize that, give it a little time. We need Him. Let's just take a moment to give thanks. Thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we appreciate You. We appreciate You are so faithful, Lord. You are committed to us, Lord. You are always there, just like you said. You are Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. And we thank you that you are here, that you are with, and that you're for us, and that your grace is sufficient for us, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Lord, we ask you to baptize our hearts with your Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God.